Cale Clark here. Thanks for listening to my podcast. Check out Charity Mobile and prayerfully consider making them your wireless carrier. Mention offer code Relevant Radio and get a free phone. Don't delay. CharityMobile.com. That's CharityMobile.com.
Fascinating facts, candid conversations, and some levity to lighten your day. This is the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio.
A terrific Tuesday to all of you. Give me a call right now. Get in on the action. 1-888-914-9149 is the number to call. Toll free. The Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. I had to take a breath there. I had to literally run, get my water, which I forgot because I was parched. And I am totally out of shape. Whew. But you can email the show between breaths. Cale, C-A-L-E at relevantradio.com. And you can also follow me on Twitter at Cale Clark, C-A-L-E, Clark with an E. And the show account is at Cale Clark Show. Well, speaking of being out of shape, certainly people who are in shape are football players. Football coaches, some of them aren't, some of them are. But one of them is in the news, and that is a former high school football coach by the name of Joseph Kennedy. You probably heard about this by now. Yesterday, the Supreme Court tackled his case, if you'll pardon the pun. It's a religious freedom case, and from a legal perspective, I don't think it's a Hail Mary at all. Okay, I'll stop now. All right, enough puns. But you might have heard about the case of Coach Joseph Kennedy. He lost his job, essentially, for leading prayers on the field at the 50-yard line after games. And just in case you haven't heard about this, I'll bring you up to speed, but I'm really curious to hear your thoughts about this. 1-888-914-9149 is the toll-free line to call. The Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. I'm sure you guys have takes on this. I want to hear them. I want to interact with you. When he coached his first game, Joseph Kennedy, for the Bremerton Knights in Washington State back in August of 2008, after the game, he walked to the 50-yard line. And he called it the battlefield, the 50-yard line of the battlefield. I don't know how I feel about using military analogies for football games, but he comes by it honestly. He is a retired U.S. Marine. He took a knee, and he offered a prayer of thanks. Now, what inspired him to do this, by the way, in the first place? Well, ESPN, a lot of media outlets are reporting on this, but Michael A. Fletcher, writing for ESPN, he got a little bit more into the background of this. And really, it happened when he was offered the coaching job in 2008, he really wasn't sure he wanted to take it, Joseph Kennedy, because he hadn't actually played organized football himself ever. Plus, he was worried about potential scheduling conflicts. With his day job, he worked at the Puget Sound Naval Shipyard, and he was offered a part-time coaching job. And that, by the way, it's his alma mater. And he was offered the coaching job by the athletic director of the school back in 2008, And he had kind of had a rough upbringing. He felt unloved by his adoptive parents. He had problems with discipline in school himself. And by the time he got out of Bremerton High School, his life was really going nowhere at the time. He was working in a restaurant. He was living in a tiny $300 a month apartment. And really, he had no direction in life. But he eventually entered the military, and he served for 20 years as a Marine. And he eventually came back to his hometown of Bremerton, Washington, in 2006. So when he was offered this coaching job part-time in 08, he was still thinking about it, and he somehow came across the movie Facing the Giants. Now, I must confess, I have not seen this film, but it's a Christian sports flick, and it's basically about a football team that's kind of down on its luck, but the coach decides to praise God on the field, and from that point on, they go on a tear, and they eventually win the state championship. So I guess it's maybe sort of a Christian version of Remember the Titans, that sort of thing. Anyways, this film greatly moved Joseph Kennedy, and in fact, he was in tears as he watched it. And later on, he was quoted as saying, quote, "I was crying my eyes out. It was a clear sign that God was calling me to coach. I had never experienced that kind of effect my entire life. I said, I'm all in, God. I will give you the glory after every game right there on the 50. And by that he means, of course, the 50-yard line where we fought our battles, end of quote. So he signed on. He signed on to be an assistant coach for the varsity team at Bremerton High School. And that team was kind of a sad sack team at the time. It had won just one game the previous year. And eventually also became the head coach of the junior varsity squad. And he started his practice of praying after every game. And at first, he prayed by himself. But after a few games, some of the players kind of noticed, and they asked if they could join him. And he said, quote, "It's a free country. This is America. You can do whatever you want," end of quote. Now, after this practice of post-game prayer started going, even some opposing players and coaches started to join in the action. And it eventually kind of became not just a time for prayer, but Coach Joe Kennedy would give a very, very brief inspirational talk as well, sort of in line with this prayer time. There'd be some religious elements to this, of course, as well. And very often he would just kind of stand in the middle of a circle of all the players, and they'd be sort of on a knee, and he'd be standing up. He'd hold a helmet in one hand above his head. And the prayer would last for about 30 seconds, but the talks could be a little bit longer. But generally not too bad. Probably less than a daily mass homily even. But he said, quote, "It was really quick because I'm not a great prayer or preacher. It was really a simple thing. I'd say, God, thank you for these guys, and thank you for the opportunity to coach them." And nobody really made a big deal out of this for quite some time. Although at least one parent apparently said that his son at one point felt compelled to participate because he was afraid that he was going to lose out on playing time. And this is the nature of a lot of the complaint against Coach Joe Kennedy. It's true that in youth sports, sometimes coaches wield a lot of power, and they can decide whether you play, you don't play. Your possible athletic future is in some ways in their hands. And so at least one parent said that his son felt compelled to participate. But that's not what Joseph Kennedy said. He said, "You don't have to participate. It's a free country. If you want to, fine. If you don't, that's fine too." So even though this one kid apparently felt like he was being coerced, he never apparently complained about it, nor did his parents. Nobody officially complained for 7 years. Okay, remember, he started this in 2008. But in September of 2015, the Bremerton School District learned about Coach Joe Kennedy's post-game prayers because an opposing coach told the school board about it. And it was totally, he was actually meaning to compliment Coach Kennedy on this. He told the principal of Bremerton High that, hey, you know, it's great that Coach Kennedy is asking his players to join him for a post-game prayer on the 50-yard line. He said he thought it was pretty cool that the school district would allow such activity. Well, little did he know that this would get Coach Kennedy in a lot of hot water. That was the catalyst, that was the spark for this battle that began to ensue between Coach Kennedy and the school district, and eventually got into the courts. So it's a tricky situation from a legal perspective, because according to the First Amendment, there's a couple things. A, it prohibits the United States government from establishing or endorsing any particular religion, officially, from a government perspective. So this is supposed to guarantee religious freedom for all. So can't be a theocracy like ancient Israel used to be, or like some predominantly Muslim countries are that don't allow any missionaries from any other faiths to get into the country. So the First Amendment is supposed to prohibit the government from establishing or endorsing any particular faith. But it also says that the government can't restrict people from expressing their religious belief or prevent them in any way from participating in the religion of their choice. So it's a bit of a tricky issue here. And this is what the Supreme Court was hearing yesterday. Apparently there's at least 2 hours of argumentation going on this case. Well, before it even got to the Supreme Court, it was in the lower courts, and the school district was basically trying to say that Coach Kennedy is an agent of the state because he's a public school employee. And therefore, he's violating the religious freedom of students because as an agent of the state, he should not be pressuring students to pray. And here's a quote from a woman named Rachel Laser. And I don't know whether she lasers in on the point or not, but here's what she says. She's actually the president and the CEO of Americans United for Separation of Church and State. So this is what she said, quote, "When a coach uses the power of his job to be in a place and to have access to students at a time when they're expected to encircle him and to come to him, that's an abuse of that power and a violation of the Constitution. Religious freedom is not the right to impose your religion on others. We all need to have it. So that's why the Free Exercise and Establishment Clause work together to protect religious freedom for all of us." End of quote. So that's kind of the perspective of the school district. And so once they got this official word that this was happening in 2015, it launched an investigation, and they acknowledged that Coach Kennedy had not actively encouraged, not required participation in the pregame prayer or the postgame prayer at midfield after games. But they did say the school board felt that it violated the First Amendment's Establishment Clause and exposed the district to significant legal liability risk. So there you have it. They told him, the school district told Coach Kennedy that his talks with students had to be totally secular. Any future religious activity he engaged in, including prayer, cannot interfere with his job duties as a coach, has to be separate from any kind of student activities, and may not have participation from the students. Now, he initially complied with this, by the way. And again, I want to hear your take on this, what you think about this case. 1-888-914-9149, Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. Have you ever been in a situation like this? Anyway, so this is what Coach Kennedy did at the time. He initially complied with the school district's request. He stopped praying on the field after games for a month. But in mid-October 2015, he actually had a change of heart. He was driving home from a game. He hadn't done the prayer, and he felt convicted. He said, no, I'm kind of betraying God in a sense. And he drove back to the field, even though everyone else had already gone, the game was long over. He went back to the 50-yard line and prayed on the field, and he vowed that he would continue the practice. So is he in any way violating the civil rights of others? Well, his lawyer said this in a letter to the Bremerton School District at the time. He said, "No reasonable observer could conclude that a football coach who waits until the game is over and the players have left the field and then walks to midfield to say a short private personal prayer, no reasonable observer would conclude that he's speaking on behalf of the state. Quite the opposite, he's engaged in private religious expression upon which the state may not infringe." End of quote. So he kept going, did it again for the next two games, and that's when the district placed Coach Kennedy on paid administrative leave from his position for violating its directives. And so later during his performance review, the athletic director of Bremerton High School recommended that he not be brought back next season, not be rehired, because he failed to follow district policy, failed to properly supervise student athletes after games. I guess they thought, well, if he's praying, he's not watching the other kids that aren't praying. Well, Joe Kennedy chose not to reapply for the coaching position at the school. And in August of 2016, he actually sued the Bremerton School District in federal district court in Tacoma, Washington, saying that the district violated his constitutional rights to free speech and free exercise of his faith. Well, he lost. U.S. District Judge Ronald Layton ruled against Coach Kennedy and said, quote, "While public schools do not have unfettered discretion to restrict an employee's religious speech, they do have the ability to prevent a coach from praying at the center of the football field immediately after games." Well, Coach Kennedy appealed this ruling. He appealed to the Ninth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals, but the Ninth Circuit Court affirmed the district court's ruling. So he had no other choice but to try to go to the Supreme Court. He actually tried this in 2019, but at the time, the Supreme Court of the United States refused to hear the case. And they said it was premature at the time to hear this case. But they did note, the Supreme Court justices did note, Justice Clarence Thomas, Neil Gorsuch, Brett Kavanaugh, they said that the Ninth Circuit Court's understanding of the free speech rights of public school teachers was troubling and may justify review in the future. So Justice Samuel Alito said this. He said at the time, this is back in 2019, what's most troubling about the Ninth Circuit's opinion is this language that can be understood to mean that a coach's duty to serve as a good role model requires him to refrain from any manifestation of religious faith, even when the coach is plainly not on duty, end of quote. Anyway, so Coach Kennedy kept going back to the courts. He kept losing in the lower courts, and things didn't look very good for him. But again, he appealed to the Supreme Court in September, and this time the High Court agreed to hear the case. And here's a little quote from Joe Kennedy, Coach Joe Kennedy. He said, "I was a Marine for 20 years. Supporting and defending the Constitution means a lot to me. Giving up is not something that's in my blood. It's not in my nature. I can look at myself in the mirror, look at my team over the years, hold my head up high, and look them in the eyes and say, hey, I fought the good fight. I didn't give up," end of quote. So Joe Kennedy's lawyer, Jeremy, I'm going to say his last name is spelled D-Y-S. It's D's or Dyes. I don't know how it's pronounced. I'm going to say Dyes. Jeremy Dyes. He said, "The state does not own every ounce of your free expression. They can't censor you from everything that you do." So people are coming down on different sides here. Some professional football players are supporting Coach Kennedy, such as Minnesota Vikings quarterback Kirk Cousins, Nick Foles. He used to be the backup quarterback for the Chicago Bears last year. Drew Stanton, who once played in the NFL. He once actually started ahead of Tom Brady at Michigan. Anyways, so they're sort of in support of Coach Kennedy, but a lot of other players are, in fact, against him. Other former players, such as a former NFL punter, Vikings punter Chris Clue, along with some others, have said that, you know, there's a propensity for players to feel compelled in these expressions of faith, even if they don't want to do so. And so they're not exactly with this. But from what I've read about the Supreme Court's discussions, the Catholic News Service was reporting that it seemed to be looking good for Coach Joe Kennedy, that he's going to win his case. We don't know yet. The decision is going to be announced in June, and we'll definitely see what happens on that front. You're listening to the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. I want to hear your take on this. 888-914-9149. So I'll say this. From my perspective, I'm not a lawyer. I don't play one on the radio or on television. But my thinking is that there's no way they're going to be able to find any proof that students were actually pressured to attend these prayer huddles. Not felt pressure. Not did they feel, but were they actually pressured? Because by the coach's own admission, he has told people, he told his players, it's a free country, you don't have to participate. And in fact, two players who refused to join the Holy Huddle, who refused to join the post-game prayers at midfield, he actually named them captains, team captains. So how can you say that he's discriminating against the players, not giving them playing time? There's really no evidence of this. He's named some of the non-participants team captains, for goodness sake. So I think it's going to be really hard to establish that there was any kind of bias or pressure on any kids who didn't want to participate to actually do so if they didn't want to. So I can't see the other side, though, and some of you guys are going to have to enlighten me on this. When you read through comments about this case on social media, some people are saying that it's actually illegal to proselytize somebody under the age of 18 in the United States. Now, I don't know if that's actually true. I don't know if that's true or not. But and people are quoting Thomas Jefferson, who said back in 1817, Thomas Jefferson said, quote, "No religious reading, instruction, or exercise shall be prescribed or practiced in the elementary schools inconsistent with the tenets of any religious sect or denomination," end of quote. I don't know. So is what he's doing violating what public schools are supposed to do or not do? Where do you come down on this? Is this, and what do you think of the prayer itself? Do you think it's a good idea? Or is this the kind of performative religiosity of the sort that Jesus condemned in the Sermon on the Mount? Here's what Jesus said in Matthew 6. He said, "When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites who love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on street corners so that others may see them. But when you pray, go into your inner room, close the door, and pray to your Father in secret." End of quote. Now, is that what this coach is doing, or is he doing something else? What's your take on this? 888-914-9149. I'm going to take a quick break right now on the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio, but we'll be right back with your phone calls and much, much more. 1-888-914-9149. Be right back. Today's show is sponsored by Kolbe Academy. With more than 40 years of experience in Catholic home education, Kolbe Academy offers a blend of classical Catholic curriculum and the latest educational technology. More info at relevantradio.com/Kolbe.
Faith, facts, and fun. It's the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio.
Welcome back to the program, 888-914-9149. We're discussing the coach of, I guess you could call him a maverick football coach. I had to tie in with the music there somehow. Coach Joseph Kennedy, the case of public prayer, leading public prayers with his football team at the 50-yard line. As it was heard by the Supreme Court yesterday. I gave a brief rundown of the case just before the break. So if you missed that, you can always catch up on the podcast later, relevantradio.com, through the app or wherever you get your podcasts. Share them with a friend. But I want to hear your take on this. 888-914-9149. I'm going to go to the phones right now. A lot of you want to get in on this. Let's go to Leilani, who's calling from Fallbrook, California.
Hello.
Hi, Leilani. Hi.
Hi. I'm a volleyball coach. I'm actually sitting outside our gym. We have a game today. But I was told not to pray inside the gym.
You were told this by school officials?
Right. And I think we had to go outside the gym, out the back door, and then we could pray and then come back in.
Huh.
Which, I don't do that.
you just go ahead and do it in the gym?
Oh, yes, I do. And these kids need it. You know, I give the opportunity. I say, come on, let's huddle over here. We're going to go into prayer. If you choose not to, then, you know, that's fine. You can stand out and we'll pray for you, and then we get our prayer on, and then the boys do a really loud amen so everyone in the gym can hear.
And
I know that I'm putting my job on the line kind of doing that, but it's worth it to me.
Have you ever received any pushback from parents or other students, or anybody told you, I feel uncomfortable with this?
No, there was one kid that chose to walk away. You know, and which was fine with all of us, because the boys that were involved in the prayer, coaching is 80% therapy, 20% sports related, and especially in high schools.
Yeah. You have to play amateur psychologist, spiritual counselor, all kinds of different hats you have to wear. Well, thanks for your call, Leilani, and thank you for your take on this as a coach, as a volleyball coach, how you're dealing with this. You're going ahead and doing it, knowing that this could get you in trouble, but you're willing to take that risk. You're listening to the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio, 888-914-9149, talking about this case heard by the Supreme Court of Coach Joseph Kennedy, leading his team and sometimes the other team as well in public prayer after football games, high school football games in the state of Washington. Linda is calling from Lexington, Kentucky. Hello, Linda.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. It has been absolutely beautiful weather here.
Oh, good. I'm glad to hear it. It's about time spring sprung somewhere, right? So,
Yes. Yes. I've listened, you know, I listen to you all the time, but in this issue, I'm 62 years old and devout Catholic, and I've taught in the school, public school system. The children that are 16, 17, some even going on 18, have pretty much so a mind of their own. And as a coach, I was a teacher, but as a coach, there's a lot more interaction between the peer, your children, and you. And, you know, I agree that I understand church and state. I don't agree with it, but that's another story.
Okay.
It wasn't made out to be what it is, but we'll fly with it. But for him to step up, my question is, what moved him to go to the 50-yard line? Not the 10, not the 20, not on the sidelines, but the 50-yard line. If, you know, like in the Mission movie with Robert De Niro, when he was choosing not to be a priest anymore, to defend those around him, we all sacrifice. If he was choosing to sacrifice for our Lord, God bless him. But in those choices in our world today, it seems like the more religious you are, the more prayer you are, the more you are condemned. Our children aren't raised with God anymore. They have no connection. So sometimes that spiritual essence around 16 and 17, 18 year olds is so moving, because Christ is moving, that they are 18 now. They can go and testify that they weren't coerced, they weren't made to, it was no big deal. I mean, like you said on the radio, he actually put some of those that chose not to pray in leadership positions. So, you know, if you're going to go there because you feel that movement with God, you're going there to sacrifice. If that's why he went to the 50-yard line, if, you know, like your volleyball teacher, if she is choosing, like she said, I'm laying in on the line, my job. If she's choosing to do that, that is her sacrifice to God.
Let me just jump in there, Linda, because you've raised a lot of really interesting points. That's something I hadn't thought of when you said that, hey, if he hadn't gone to the 50-yard line, which is obviously right in the middle of the field, everybody can see it, and he said that he wanted to, Coach Joe Kennedy said he wanted to go right to the middle of the quote-unquote battlefield, right? And obviously, the gridiron has been likened to a battlefield. The analogies between football and war, you know, those get stretched pretty thin. And in the light of an actual war that's going on, obviously, right now in Ukraine, it seems very trite. But he's a former soldier, right? So, but this is language that's pretty common. If he had gone, as you suggested, Linda, if he had gone to the sidelines, you know, near the exits, or at the back of the end zone, maybe out of the, you know, the spotlight, as it were, would people have had a problem with it? Almost like that volleyball coach that called in earlier saying that, well, the school said you can go outside the gym to pray. In a sense, off the field, would it have been a big deal? And I don't know whether that was part of what he felt God was calling him to do, to go to the 50, to do it in front of everybody. And he gave the example of the excellent movie, by the way, The Mission, Roland Joffe, directed by Roland Joffe, starring Jeremy Irons and Robert De Niro. Great film, classic film, great soundtrack too. Gabriel's Oboe, it's the best. If you haven't seen it, you're missing out. Check it out, very powerful. But this idea of, hey, maybe I'm willing to risk it. I'm willing to risk whatever might come my way. I might lose my job, but this is my witness and this is what I'm going to choose to do. I don't know. I don't know if he was thinking that at all. But another thing that you said, Linda, that I thought was interesting was that you sort of said something about how teens have their own mindset. And this idea that you could possibly influence them to do something that they don't want to do. I do think it's true that a lot of teens are pretty strong-willed, and they have their own opinions for sure about this stuff, and they aren't easily coerced either way or influenced either way. But part of the argument here is that, and again, I don't think they can prove this in this case. I do think this could happen in some cases. This idea that, hey, you got to sort of adhere to what the coach wants. If he wants to pray, let's go there, because you don't want to be seen as not a team player. You don't want to be seen as somebody who's sort of against the program here or aloof from the team. I could see some social pressure to want to fit in that regard. But there's no evidence here that he pressured or coerced anybody. To the contrary, he named a couple of the non-prayers team captains. You're listening to The Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio, 888-914-9149. Really good discussion, really good calls. We're going to go now to Nikki, who's calling from St. Louis. Hi, Nikki.
Hi, how are you today?
I'm great. What's your take on this?
Well, I am a product of the Catholic education system, and so are almost all three of my children. And I don't like it. I don't like it at all. I personally, I was a cheerleader. We said a Hail Mary before every game. It was what we did, but we went to Catholic school. And when our teachers would pray or, you know, before any classes that we had, that was cool because it was a Catholic school. And if you weren't Catholic and you were going there, you know, shout out to my Lutheran friends, I think that, you know, you were at least prepared going in because you knew it was a Catholic school. And I don't think it's fair to any of these kids to, and I don't think the coach is forcing them. And and I would never accuse a coach, having been one myself, that they would put anybody over anybody else for reasons like that. But just because they don't actually do it doesn't mean that those kids don't feel that way.
Hmm. You know, and by the way, I appreciate that sort of counter take on this alternate take that you don't think it is a good idea, that this sort of thing, if it's a religious school, if it's a private school, if it's a Catholic school, or in his case, a Christian school, I don't think he's a Catholic. Coach Joe Kennedy, who's at the center of this Supreme Court case, arguments were heard yesterday. Yeah, that's what a lot of people are saying. When you read comments on these articles that are about the case on social media, a lot of people will say, hey, if you want to do that, if you want to pray with the kids after the game, then go coach at a religious school, coach at a Christian school. No one will give you any guff about it. It's kind of accepted. It's part of the program. But don't try to do it in a public school. Don't try to bring that into what's supposed to be a technically secular environment. And that's the perspective that a lot of people have. What do you think? Do you guys agree with Nikki? 888-914-9149. Thank you very much for that call, Nikki. Appreciate you. Appreciate you listening in St. Louis, the hometown of our producer, Jim Shaper. So Jim made sure that call got through. No, I'm only kidding. I wanted to talk to Nikki too. So if you want to call in, 888-914-9149. I'm going to go now to Rocco, who's calling from Scranton, Pennsylvania. Hello, Rocco.
Hi, how are you doing? Thanks for taking my call. This is the first time I'm calling in.
Oh, thanks for calling
in,
sir.
You're welcome. I really feel for the man. I think it's good that he's standing up for prayer. Like, my understanding is that he didn't ask anybody to pray. He did it on his own, and people start going
right
to him and start praying.
That's correct.
Right?
That's correct.
So, I mean, what's the problem? He didn't force anybody to do it. They're praying. And years ago, everyone used to pray before a game. I mean, I'm dating myself, so we always pray. And what did they do? They took prayer out of the school. What else are they going to take? What freedom? We had prayer in the school. Whoever wanted to pray would pray. Now we're losing all our freedoms. I just think it's wrong that they can force a man to pray. I was a school teacher, and I taught art, so I had a little leeway.
Okay.
With what I taught. And I used to give out rosary beads to my students when they were having trouble. I used to give out miraculous medals, and I taught them in public school. And I feel that if kids need help, they can do their own free will. You see them wearing rosary beads on around their neck. And I used to explain, do you know what you're wearing? They said, no. I said, okay, come over here. Here's what you're actually, that's the whole life of Christ, that rosary bead. And I would explain to them. Some kids really appreciated it. And I think that's what our country needs. More people like this. More people to stand up for the faith And because they miss it, they're dying for it. These kids really want to learn. They want to know their faith, and they're not being taught. That's my feelings.
Well, thank you very much for calling in, Rocco. First time caller, obviously longtime listener. Really appreciate you making that call in Scranton, Pennsylvania. So what do you think? I mean, we got a couple of opposing views there from Nikki in St. Louis, and also from Rocco in Scranton. What do you think? 888-914-9149. Is this appropriate in a public school environment? And obviously, every single person, even if they're in the public school, they are created in the image of God. They do have a destiny. God has a plan for them, even if they don't know Him. And do you think it's okay? Do you think it's okay in an environment that's supposed to be technically secular? Is there ever really such a thing? I don't know. To express your faith publicly, is that in any way violating the First Amendment? So, I don't know. I want to hear what you think more on this. 888-914-9149. It's Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. We've got to take a quick break right now, but we'll be right back after this. Hang tight. The Catholic Order of Foresters, the sponsor of our studio's line, is hiring today. Several positions are available throughout the United States. Visit relevantradio.com/forester to learn more about how you can find your vocation with Catholic Order of Foresters, an Illinois Life Insurance Society, not licensed in all states.
Explaining the Catholic faith and how you can live it and share it too. It's the Cale Clark Show. Have a question? Give Cale a call at 888-914-9149.
Hey, welcome back to the program. And a lot of you are on the line right now. We're going to get to as many calls as we possibly can. 888-914-9149. We're talking about the case that was heard by the Supreme Court of the United States yesterday. Coach Joseph Kennedy leading prayer at the 50-yard line, high school football coach. He's gotten in some trouble because he's at a public school. And the school didn't like it. He eventually lost his job because of this. He's taken his case all the way to the Supreme Court. And, you know, this, some people say, what is the big deal here? This happens all the time in a lot of sports settings. NFL players routinely will kneel to pray at the 50-yard line after professional games. Players and coaches from both teams will often have a holy huddle, and it's optional. Players don't have to do it, obviously, but those who want to do, those who are people of faith do, will often say the Our Father together. And it happens in college settings, too. And I think maybe here there's a little bit more of a case to be made that I'm actually kind of surprised that nobody's tried to, for example, take Notre Dame to the Supreme Court over this. New Notre Dame coach, football coach Marcus Freeman, who used to be the defensive coordinator at Notre Dame. He's a really interesting guy. He's decided this year, coming up, starting in September, he's going to bring back a Notre Dame game day tradition of going to Mass as a team at the Basilica at Notre Dame and then walking across campus to the stadium before games. Now, that practice was discontinued by the former head coach, the outgoing head coach, Brian Kelly. When he took over a few years ago, he changed a few things. Players no longer went to Mass before the game, but they did still walk across campus to the stadium. They would attend Mass the night before. He didn't want a game day Mass kind of interfering with their preparation, whatever. He wanted all their energies. If you're hearing sermons about peace and love, it's hard to knock a guy's helmet off come Saturday. But anyways, they still did kind of a traditional walk through campus, which is very much associated with Notre Dame. But Brian Kelly's moved on to greener pastures, I guess. He's left Notre Dame, and a lot of people weren't happy about that. And he's now the head coach of the LSU Tigers. You might have seen when he faked a Southern accent at his first LSU event. We've got some audio of this. It's pretty cringe-worthy. Take a listen.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, this is a great way to get started, and I haven't even won all my games yet. It's a great night to be a Tiger. I'm here with my family, and we are so excited to be in the great state of Louisiana, but more importantly, to be with you great fans and to be part of what is going to be an incredible ride here at Louisiana State University. Bless you. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, total cringe from Brian Kelly. Me and my family. Okay, come on. That'd be like Marcus Freeman doing his initial press conference at Notre Dame in like a Conor McGregor voice or something. Give me a break. I say this as one Irishman to another Brian Kelly. That was cringeworthy. Don't do it. But what of this case? What about praying with students at a public school? What do you think about this? Is it a good call or not? We're going to go back to the phones now. Ann is calling from Chicago. Hi, Ann.
Good afternoon, Cale. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for calling in on this. What's your take?
Great. You know, I was telling your screener that I do believe in church and state, you know, the separation of church and state. I am a 30-year veteran Chicago public school teacher, and I did go through Catholic school. But as I took the job, I knew that, you know, there's no praying in my classroom. Not that I don't pray under my breath some days, but I do not share that. You know, I don't share that with my students. I just believe that, you know, I believe in everyone can believe in whatever they want to. I am a firm believer. I love Catholic radio. The Relevant Radio programs are incredible. So but it's just that, you know, I told the screener, it would be just like if somebody put down their prayer mat. You know, I have a lot of Muslim students in my classrooms. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of maybe even Hasidic Jews. And, it's okay. You know, you can do whatever you want at home. But, you know, this is not the time and the place to do that. Prayer, that is. So we do teach them in social studies that there are different types of, you know, people and cultures in the world, and they believe in different things, and we talk about the different religions, but we do not, you know, we don't definitely pray in school.
Okay, well,
I think one of your callers said it really great too. It was just a minute ago. You know, if you're going to a public school, you're not expecting prayer. If you're going to a religious school, you might expect it there.
Okay, well, thanks, Anne, for that take, and that's something you raised. Is something that I thought of too. I wonder what the reaction would be if the coach had been Muslim and he laid out a prayer mat on the 50-yard line and started, you know, pointing himself towards Mecca and doing some prayer. Would that have bothered anybody? Maybe it would have bothered people even more. I don't know. And so the question is, obviously, context, place. A lot of you guys are coming down on different sides on this. I want to go to Deacon Chris now. Deacon Chris, who's calling from Mesa, Arizona, on line 5. Deacon Chris, how you doing?
Oh, very well. How you doing today?
I'm doing great. Doing great. What do you think about this?
I heard the lady that was speaking that she was a cheerleader at Catholic school, and I came down really on her side. I've been listening to this on the news, and I don't like the courts getting involved with any of us saying prayers anywhere, and as a Catholic deacon, yeah, I support prayer quite a bit. But, you know, he could have done it before the game, after the game with the guys in the locker, but making a statement, just going out and then not going with the rule that a public school had as far as, you know, what their desires are. He's working for them. They weren't stopping him from praying. He could have gone out and done it, but he's just made this into, I think, a problem as far as for even if they start coming down on, well, yes, you can pray. Well, then maybe they could also say, no, you can't pray.
Well, thanks, Chris. I appreciate that call. It's Deacon Chris calling from Mesa with his take on this from Mesa, Arizona. Going to go now to Fresno, California. Christopher is calling from Fresno. Hi, Christopher. What do you think about this issue?
Hi, how are you? Well, I didn't want to speak specifically to that because I'm a former school board member for Fresno, California, the fourth largest in California. But I was going to say that what I had done and I found myself doing is using my rosary when we were at the dais in order to help me formulate my decisions based on what we're doing. I didn't recite my rosary publicly. I sat there and listened to the conversations, listened to the decision-making. I used it. I do believe in that separation, as the caller, a previous caller said, you know, if you're going to go to public school, this is the expectation. I think there's some merit to being able to. I'm also a teacher, a former teacher, a veteran teacher. So I also believe there's some merit in allowing students, whatever grade level, a moment of reflection, allow them to just kind of de-escalate if they're coming out of a lunch break or in the morning. There are actually some studies that show that that helps. It doesn't necessarily have to be specific to, and I don't know if you can hear the kids in the background. It doesn't, right
it's
now.
Okay.
It doesn't necessarily have to be specific to a prayerful moment. It could just be some reflection, some moment of allowing them to, look to the day. But the only time that I got called on it publicly was by another Catholic who did not like me sitting at the dais with my rosary, which I felt was interesting.
That is interesting.
Because I was not trying to look as Christians, as Catholics, our actions speak just as loud as our words. And I always would pray that my decisions would be guided by the Holy Spirit, by my faith. And I couldn't separate those two. I couldn't separate my beliefs from who I was as an educator and as a leader.
Yeah, I want to jump in on that. Christopher, thank you very much for that call. Christopher from Fresno, former school board member. And that's something you just hit on there. You can't separate your personal faith, who you are, from anything that you do. And that's that. But where do we... You can't check your... St. Jose Maria Escrivá, the founder of Opus Dei, he used to say you can't check your faith at the door. Let's say you're involved in politics or business or you're a teacher, whatever you do. You can't check your faith at the door like you're hanging up your hat or your coat on the coat rack on your way in. It's part of who you are. But what is going too far in this context? That's a really good question. Is it too far? Some people are trying to liken what the coach was doing with the prayer. And again, this is optional for people. To what happened recently on the airplane. You probably all saw that viral clip. I get asked about this a lot. I gave my take on this where a bunch of, I don't know whether they were young Christian missionaries, they were basically putting on a contemporary Christian music concert on a plane, and all the passengers were kind of held hostage there and forced to listen to it. I thought that that was an abuse because there was no freedom involved. They couldn't leave. The other passengers couldn't leave. They couldn't get away from it. I'm really surprised that the airline staff actually allowed that to happen in the first place. I think this is a totally different situation, but still that question remains, how far is too far? Your faith is part of who you are, but what are the limits of expressing this in a public school situation? I'm going to go now to Amy, who's calling from Yorkville, Illinois. Hi, Amy.
Hi, how are you, Cal?
I'm well.
The last two calls, I think, fit perfectly into the point that I would like to bring up is, where is it okay for a Christian child to fit into a public school? I have four children, three of which are begging to escape the public school system because they no longer feel like they're welcome with their values in their public school. So, the school has a great focus on diversity, but I don't think it's diverse that these children who are on fire for their faith are forced to take a diversity club quiz that went to every single student that promoted things that were against their faith. And they were caught in this, the options that were given. If they chose anything other than what this diversity club wanted the children to answer, they were stuck on the question and couldn't move on. So that's not diversity. That's brainwashing. This is you must agree or you don't belong.
Yeah, let me jump in on that.
Let me
just jump in on that real quick, Amy. What is true diversity? What is true tolerance? That's a great question. Let me give you an example from what's going on here north of the border in Canada, in the province of Quebec. You might have heard about this, but in government buildings, in government settings, you're not allowed to, and this used to be the most Catholic place, at least on the surface, on the face of the earth. You are not allowed to have any religious symbols. You can't walk, if you're a Catholic worker, you can't go into a government building and work wearing a crucifix. This goes for teachers too, by the way. If you're a Muslim, you can't wear a Muslim woman can't wear her hijab in public, which I think is ridiculous. I think that's going too far. That's being rather intolerant because, again, these people's faith is part of who they are. and asking, it raises a lot of questions. And I think we're kind of next door to this when it comes to this situation here with this case of Coach Joseph Kennedy. Public prayer at a public school. 888-914-9149. Cale Clark Show. You've been listening to. Going to go now to Debbie in Costa Mesa, California. Hi, Debbie.
Hi. First of all, I've never called a radio station before, but I'm listening to your show and I'm getting really heated up. I understand that the separation of church and state was instituted not to protect the state from religion, but to protect the church from the state. It was because the state was encroaching on religion. And the public schools used to have prayer in schools. We just got rid of that in the 60s, not too long ago. So not to pray, and this is all part of wokeism. It's slipping in, and I used to work for a school district as well. And they are so powerful, and I cannot believe how we need to stand up for God, you know, not the school system. The school system
We got to jump in here, Debbie. I'm so sorry, because thank you so much for calling in for the first time, and please call back Debbie from Costa Mesa. And she's definitely amped up about this. And I wish we had more time, Debbie, but we're up against it. Wish I had another hour, but we have come almost to the end of the program. We will be back tomorrow, though. I want to thank Patrick Alog for taking your calls. Jim Shaper for producing today. Back tomorrow on the Cale Clark Show. It's been a great discussion. We can continue it tomorrow. So be back. Same time, 5 p.m. Central. We'll see you then. Take it away, Michaela.
Thank you for listening to my daddy.